Shalom, everybody. I think we are going to Bezrat Hashem finalize the, in reality, two section. The last part, which is the Gevura aspect, the Din aspect of the Yad HaChazak. We said that Hashem introduced in this 42 days three aspects of his hands, Yad HaChazak, that means the hand of judgment, Yad HaGadol, the hand of Chesed, love and compassion, and the last hand that gave the hand and brought the Bnei Israel out of the slavery, out of Egypt, out of their problem, and saved them. Now, the second aspect of the Yad HaChazak is the Parasha B'Shlach, which is Gevura, and we will discuss what is our duty for this week, what we should concentrate, and for that I would like just to go a little bit back to the last week in regards to the Aquarius. We said Aquarius is the energy of spiritual rebirth. It's a new beginning. It's a sign of a water, really. It's very interesting that the Moshe name was called the name Moshe by who? By the daughter of Pharaoh when she took him out of water. And respect to that, because Moshe's aspect came from water, what is the characteristic of water, the natural characteristic of water? If you pour it on the water, it starts going lower and lower and lower. That applies the shaflutness, the humbleness of the water. And that's why the Torah calls literally Moshe Ish Anav, a humble man. Because he is coming from the water. And that's why the Midrash explains that when God told Moshe, Moshe go and heat the water and convert the water from water to blood, Moshe said, God, I cannot do such a thing to the water because my essence is the water. Now, remember who is Moshe? Moshe is the totality of all the neshamot of the oldest Jewish Bnei Israel soul. He represents its totality. Moshe represents the totality nitzutzim, sparks of holiness we call Bnei Israel. And Bnei Israel is divided in 12 Shevatim, 12 tribes, and each tribe has its own characteristic and its behavior, etc., etc. Each tribe represents 1 month of the year. After the year is finished, that means 12 months is finished, which starts from Nisan, and it's with the Tale Aries, it finishes with Pisces. The whole process we are supposed to have achieved a certain goal. I don't go through each month step by step, different characters, different positioning, different consciousness, different character, for nothing. I don't go through four seasons every year, summer, winter, autumn, and Aviv, spring, for nothing. The nature and the change, all is for me to achieve, to make a change from the beginning and to the end. The beginning started to cleanse the vessels. Cleanse the vessels. That's why in Passover we clean house, we clean everything in the house. It's a new beginning. It's Aviv. Aviv is written Aleph Bet, Yud Bet. Av means father. So the father of Yud Bet, of 12 signs. That's the beginning. That's why the Torah in this parasha of this week calls Aviv, the month of Aviv, as a Rosh of Chodashim. It's the beginning of all the months. Now we are one Aquarius, one before the end. One before the end. Now, you need 10 cents to get into the bus. You have 9. What is going to complete it? 1. The 9 is more important or the 1? 1 without the other is not going to do it. That's why he says, not 9, Sefirot, not 11, exactly 10 is the minyan, is the complete. Now, we said there are 2 forces act in this month of Aquarius. One is Saturn, which is Shabtai. We said it's the Shabtai comes from the word Shabbat, which that's why God gave Shabbat those parashiot, especially this parasha, and doesn't discuss Shabbat. It started to give man, bread from the Shamayim. And then started the first day, they received man, and God told them, you know what, take as much as you can handle. Don't take more. Take the portion you need for one day. And some people, they were greedy. They said, wow, this is really good stuff. Let's keep it in the middle of the night. Maybe I get up, I feel like eating. So, and the man characteristic was, if I wanted to have a filet mignon steak, the man would be filet mignon steak. If I wanted to have fish, it would be fish. The man would be whatever I desired it to be. So, became greedy. But God said, don't take it, because if you take it by tomorrow, there is tolad, there is worms in it. You can't use it. Just take as much as you can utilize. Now, so every day people learn, day one, they took their portion. Day two, they took a portion for a day. They came to Friday, they said, wait a minute, the portion is not anymore for one day, it's for 2 days. So they come to Moshe, they say, wait a minute, you told us not to take extra. I'm supposed to get 1 portion, I got 2 portions. What is this all about? And Moshe said, oh, by the way, there is something called Shabbat. Whatever you need, God gives you on Friday double. So you don't need Shabbat to go and work and gather man. And that's how Shabbat came. So we say the energy of Shabbat is there to what? It's the power of totally rejuvenation. It's the energy of recreation. Energy of chidush, newness. Energy of a beginning. It's a start Sunday. It's a new beginning. He says, but Saturn really gives us one definite definition of what is energy force is, called responsibility, discipline. Shabbat teaches us one thing, to be disciplined. We very well know if we do not have discipline in our life, impossible to become successful. Impossible to reap benefit and enjoy fulfillment. Feel the joy in life if I don't choose responsibility in my life. Please follow what I'm saying. If I don't accept the responsibility. And now, what do you mean responsibility? You want me to go to work and earn and pay my dues and pay my taxes and pay my rent and pay my schooling and everything? Is that the responsibility you are talking about? Part of it. But Saturn comes to tell us that there must be discipline and responsibility in one's life. That's Aquarius. The mental and the power that mind of Aquarius has. If it is not disciplined and doesn't feel responsible, becomes extremely crude person. Very harsh person. Judges everybody. And gives pain to the level of cruelty. So that's why there is another energy called Uranus. And Uranus is the energy force of liberation. Now, responsibility and liberation, they go hand to hand. You cannot be liberated and not be responsible. Because if you are liberated and you are not immediately disciplined and responsible, you will go astray, you will go bad. If you let your being not to have honor, not to have principles and discipline, it for sure will go bad. Beyond the I think my mind understands very well. I am educated, I'm a doctor, I've studied, I've seen half the world. Of course I have disciplines. What kind of disciplines? That's why this liberation that is Uranus is not an outside issue, is an inside issue. That means I don't see my freedom in doing whatever I want, whenever I want, how I want. That's not liberation. That's a lack of discipline and a lack of responsibility. Responsibility and liberation comes from within. That means the following. Let me give you an introduction. The Torah starts in the book of Bereshit. It says, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve ta'aretz, in the beginning, and uses the word in the beginning, literal translation, God created the shamayim, the heavens, and the aretz, the ground, the earth. Va'aretz, and the earth, not shamayim, aretz, haita tohu vevohu, haita. Haita means was. When? Before this creation called Bereshit. Haita. Tohu vavohu. That means there was an energy called Tohu vavohu. What do we know of Tohu vavohu? Energy of chaos. Why didn't God continue with his creation previously? Because that creation caused Tohu vavohu. That means chaos. Not because the energy was chaotic. It's the vessel. Was so selfish. So much desire to receive for oneself alone. I could not handle the totality of the light. No responsibility. No discipline. No sense of rejuvenation and becoming better and taking responsibility. The buck stops here. Me. Most important is me. I to enjoy. I destroy everybody. If it makes me happy. I build, destroy palaces in order to build my own palaces. I say what I feel like to say. I do what I think is right. I behave the way I think is correct. Now, Aquarius, with its capability, can do this. And not absolutely, and this is the energy that not only for a person that is born in this month, we are this month within the womb of this energy called Aquarius. That's why we're reading Parashiyot from the book of Torah that is teaching us how to come out of it. Mentally, look at your surrounding, look at your situation for past 10 days. Look back and you will realize what the energy of this month was and is still is. Look at the world, listen to the news. Look what's going on. The world has gone mad. Every day worse. It's so chaotic. No discipline. No responsibility. In name of God, lot of killing. Lot of wars. In name of God, there is nothing getting built. In name of God, everything getting deteriorated. Worse. Every day. And there is no end to the sight. So Torah comes to this moment at this point. Brings us to a very important point that I would like to share from a writing that was by the Rebbe in regards to this parasha. To explain what is our soul, how we can see freedom, and how can we bring joy into our life. Now, what is this joy I am talking about? Because when I tell you joy, you think it's happiness, and I'm not talking about happiness. I'm worried for joy. Now, in order to get you to that, a little bit of understanding of this joy, practically close to ecstasy, is the following. Have you ever been in the shower, you had a hell of a good day, you really made a lot of money and you were successful, everything you did went well, you were winner in your exams, you did good, everything you touched was good, and here you go to the shower to get ready to go to the party of your lifetime. What do you do under the shower? Yeah, but that's beautiful. Where this singing comes from? Huh? No, really. Yeah, all that aspect is satiated. Hey. How many of us want this all the time? There is a way to get there. There is a way to get there. There is a way absolutely to bring such a joy in your life. That doesn't mean that your problem is going to be less. No. I'm not showing you green heaven and green door and say everything is going to be hunky-dory. No. Still we have to work and work hard, and still it's going to be up and down, but with joy. Some of you don't believe it. How is that possible? How is that possible? So Rebbe comes and he says, look, what is this business of God opening the sea? Come on. Like God wants to show off? What is really Torah is telling us? By God opening the Yam Suf for Bnei Israel. And on top of it, not even that. And when the Mitzrayim, the Egyptian, go through it, brings back the water and kills everybody. It says in Midrash that the amount of the money the Jews took out of Egypt compared to the amount of money that they gained after the Egyptian died was 1,000 more. They didn't know even how to carry it anymore. It was so much because the Egyptians loved their chariot. They put all their gold and jewelries on their chariot. That's how chariots were important. So, the Rebbe comes and says the following. What's the difference between dry land and the sea? Because the Torah makes sure for us to see that God took the water. Not only took the water, I think he took the huge a hair dryer and dry the land, because the Torah says they walked on the Yevashah, on a dry land. Come on, if you take the water, how long it takes you to dry the land? Why he insists a dry land? And what it means, dry land? And what is the difference between the dry land and the sea? And we know that majority part of the world is under the sea. And majority part of our body is water. Now I would like the Rebbe wants to make a comparison between what is the dry land and what's the sea. What are the beings and the animals that live on land compared to the animals that live in the sea and the depths of the sea? What is the difference between them? And why God really put a whole different world, totally different environment under the water? How? What Torah wants to tell us? So Rebbe starts the following. Land and sea mirror each other. And this is really true. If you see the pictures that now they are taking, the land and the sea, they are mirror of each other. It's a phenomena. But the aspect of the land, that's part of the land, is covered with the water. But it's the mirror image of the dry land. Now, by the way, Rebbe was a physicist. He was well educated in physics, and he was, during the war, very effective and used his knowledge in a very effective way. He was a mathematician. He wasn't just a philosopher and right only knowing the Torah. He knew the Torah and the physics very well. So what he says about this is not merely studies from Torah. So he says, yet there are vastly different worlds. Though they are mirror image, but they are very, very different. And since God has made man, the totality of the universe God has put in man, and man is the micro of the totality of the creation. So whatever is in creation is in the man too. That means, if there is a sun in the man, and there is a moon, the moon is the aspect of desire to receive. The sun is the aspect of to give. So is every other detail that God has put into the creation, has put in the man. And if this is so, and the Chachamim and the Torah tells us so, that means there is an aspect called dry land within me, and there is an aspect of sea within me. That means there is an aspect in me that is concealed, and there is an aspect of me is revealed. So the first difference between land and sea is that in the land I can see everything, but yet in the sea, everything that is on the land is concealed. This aspect, Rebbe says, as well is within each one of us. Man has both a terrestrial and an aquatic. It's both aspect of the water, which is aquatic, that's the water aspect, and terrestrial, which is the land aspect. Now, he goes to explain to us what is this aspect of the dry land, which is called terrestrial, or the water. Let's look at the animal which lives in the land. Let's look at the best animal in it. The man. And I want you to really honestly be fair with you. Look at past 48 hours. What have you ate? Just make a review for yourself. but I want you to identify with what you ate. And I'm sure all of you remember what you ate. Now, while you were eating and consuming it for past 48 hours, did you pay attention how that food got to you? From where it came? How it was made? Is it from the land? Is it from the animal? Did you think about it at all? Now, isn't it that all your surrounding is your nature? Your surrounding is connected to you. How are you able to disconnect from the source of your existence? Because your source of existence is what? How do you exist? It's what you eat. If you don't eat, can you continue to exist? So how you disconnect from what really source that feeds you? You don't think of it. And if you don't think of it, what makes you? Disconnected from the source that is source of your existence. And that's the animal living on land. That means disassociates myself from my source of existence. I take the ground granted. I take everything on the ground granted that is there for me. I am not there for it. Do you believe you are responsible toward the nature? Do you think of it? And after you thought of it, do you honestly act upon it? No. We don't. So we see the animal that lives, and I am the best of it, on the dry land, disassociates from its source of existence, its place of existence, disassociates itself, disconnects itself, and doesn't care. In a pure sense, maybe I am pushing too hard, but essentially it's correct. Now let's go to the sea. Oh, who lives in the sea? And usually the fish, they're all together. Do you see really difference between fish? Is it recognizable? Species. But species in species with the species. If I look at the anchovies, all anchovies to me look all like anchovies. One is not more handsome than another anchovies. Really not. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you take anchovies out of his source of existence, what happens? Dies. That means fish cannot even a second separate itself from his natural environment, where he exists. But yet, a man, in opposite to the fish, can separate itself with no problem. Now, what is telling me the Torah? What the Rebbe wants to tell me here that, okay, look at this. This is a mirror, a both of it are in you. That means you can be an individual. Because the land, the man that is working in the land is an individual. There is a me part. There is the I part. There is the head, the ego. Defines me, my character, my name. It's me. And you want me to be fish? To lose my identity? Is that what the Torah wants for me, to lose my identity? Because this is the question of Aquarius. He says, I know what I know. And you want me to change? To lose my identity? And that's what we are afraid of. To lose our identity. I want to define my identity. Why I go? I go by the colors of the suit and the type of the suit and the type of the car and the type of the house and the address that I want to choose and the name that I want to choose and the profession that I want to choose. All for what purpose? For one reason. I'm an individual and that is me. Because I want to announce to the world what I am. That's how I started, by saying I am. And now that I am grown up and says, I know. And at this moment, God is giving him a message. He says, you have a responsibility. And you have to become free. And if you become free without accepting responsibility and discipline, you certainly will go astray. And that's how I want to read the section that Rebbe is really giving, defining it word by word. Terrestrial, which is the self, our sense of identity and the individuality, is to be uprooted or suppressed. And not neither to want to uproot ourselves, our individuality, nor to suppress it. Selfhood is not in and of itself a negative trait. The self that we have, by itself, neshama shenatata bi tahorai, the neshama, the self, is tahor. It's not negative. It's good by itself. It is prone to develop some very negative attributes. We have affinity to some bad midot, bad characters. We are susceptible. And we are going to realize why we are susceptible so much. We pick up so much viruses. And we are not aware we are sick. We think we are healthy. Now, wait till we go through and then we see how this parasha is really helping us to walk out of it. And he says, trait, it is only that left to its own device, it is prone to develop some very negative attributes. Aquatic consciousness and behavior. If he loses sight of the source and goal of your life, the moment that you lose the sight of what your goal in life is, what is your purpose, where you want to go, as soon as you lose it in your head, you will go astray. You will go bad. That's why last week we said there is no way that I will put my eyes, I put his name in front of me, I listen his voice. I think his thoughts. Because if I don't discipline my eyes, my ears, my mind, I will go astray. If I am not, don't have definition, if I don't have principles, disciplines, fear will go into me. Doubt will go into me. I will lose the sight of what is my purpose to go being. You know, a lot of people, the two major characters we have in ourselves. One is that sits in the boat with 20 people. That's what Midrash says. With 20 other people on the boat sitting. And he takes the grinder and starts go under his chair and start making a hole into the boat in the middle of the sea. So what are you doing? He says, well, what do you mean, what am I doing? It's my seat. It's my place. I can do whatever I want. I want to make a hole in the boat. It's my space. I paid for it. It's one character. And then yet there is another character that doesn't want to face no responsibility. You know what? Don't shake the boat. Let it go. Take it easy. You don't need to take responsibilities. You take too much responsibility. Headache. Who needs the headache? Take it easy. Go with the flow. Chill out. It's okay. No problem. You make too much noise. Don't make noise. Quiet. You'll be all right. And this person thinks that everything is guaranteed and everything is going to continue coming. And then suddenly feels the fear. And suddenly he looks around, look in the back, and he says, oh my God, my life is practically finished and I don't have anything to show for it. I'm empty. Now what am I going to do? That's why now the hopelessness is going to creep in and it's going to just practically destroy me. So the Rebbe continues, he says, no, you have two aspects. Remember, there is an aspect of you is the water. And there is an aspect of you that there is individual. And you cannot only take care of that, your individuality, your you only. There is an aspect of you which is a fish. And what the fish wants? Doesn't want to leave its existence. What is the existence of the fish? So one water is, what represents water? Torah. Bravo. The water represents the Torah. The fish cannot stay out of the Torah. They cannot lose the contact with the Torah. The moment loses is out of the domain of his existence. The consciousness that understands this, Tanya, Zohar, Chassidut, Kabbalah, called Tzaddik. It's the recognition within us that there is an aspect of me, there is a soul, is an amphibious soul. It only can exist in the domain of the Torah. There is an aspect of me. And if I forget that it exactly the way that God has given the majority of the part of my body water, majority of the earth water, and the minute comparison amount of dry land, that means there is tremendous amount of me that depends to this sea and should act like a fish. Act like a fish that absolutely will fight and knows that only its source of existence is to connect and emerge in the Torah. That's the only rule that gives me disciplines and capability of controlling my thoughts and correcting my midot and my behavior and helping me in finding out what is my responsibility in this world. Because until such a time I don't know my responsibility, I will not be successful. Where do we know this? For 210 years, Bnei Israel were in Egypt, and finally the Bnei Israel felt the farness of God. Forgot their name, forgot their behavior, forgot that once upon a time they were Bnei Yaakov. And they looked back and they realized that they are totally dependent on what? On their individuality and the desire to receive for oneself alone. Who controlled the water in Egypt? Pharaoh. Pharaoh was in the control. That's why Moshe, when God went after the water to say, no, you're not in control, I'm in control. Pharaoh, how he was in the water, he was in control. In Nil was coming up once a year for a period and fertilized the whole land of Egypt. That was the Nil for. And he said, you know what? It's my power doing it. I am controlling the water. In reality, telling you what? I'm controlling the fishes which is in the water. Everything in the water is mine. I use the fish. But do I understand what I am using? I use the land. Do I recognize I am using the land? I am taking food out of this land. Am I recognizing I am taking food out of the land? Am I aware? And if I am not aware, how am I going to be aware of what are my weaknesses and wrong midot within me? Bad character within me. And that's why the Rebbe comes and continues in his explanation. His self is sure to turn selfish identity, translating into a self-centeredness and individuality. When? If he loses the sight of his aquatic consciousness and behavior, if he loses the goal of his life, what is my goal in this life really? Every one of us. Really, what is our goal? That's what the purpose is? To be a good person? That's the goal? I'll tell you, no. To be a tzaddik, yes. But before I can become a tzaddik, what I need to be?
Get the negative aspect, recognize that.
Bravo. What that means? Liberated, redeemed, free. If I'm not free, how can I possibly have even correct discipline or character? This aspect of freedom is essential. So after 200 years, God frees the Bnei Israel, brings them out. But prior bringing them out, Moshe goes to God. He says, God, you know what? I want to bring this Erev Rav with me. He says, what is this Erev Rav? He's not ready to come out. Leave him alone. He says, no, you know, God, I decided that we're going to take it out. Who knew better? Moshe? Oh, God. Why God did something that Moshe told him, don't bring him out. And we know that Bnei Israel created the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, because of this energy called Erev Rav. Now, Erev Rav is written Ein Resh Bet, Resh Bet. Numerical value, Da'at, knowledge. They are source of knowledge of Klipa, of how to live in the world of not reality. They know how to live in the world of illusion and control the world of illusion. Bring you scenarios for you to see that you say, this is real. To the what extent? The Jews that they saw 1 year completely, all the miracles of God in Egypt. They saw that God opened the sea for them. They saw God came down. Gave them the 10 utterances. They saw things that me and you will never be able to see. Yet, they went and created the golden calf. And the Erev Rav came and told to the Jews, to Bnei Israel, Ele Eloheicha Israel, this chamor, this donkey, this shore, this, what do you call shore? Bull. Because the Egel HaZahav, this golden calf, half of it was donkey, half of it was a bull. This bull is your God. This is represents your desire to receive for oneself alone. This is the God you created for yourself. A bull? A bull does what, you say? Quick to make decision. To put his horn and tear. That's a quick in, God says, don't do this. He quickly does what God told him not to do. That's the bull. And what's the donkey? Chamor. Is that you say, okay, God says, look, I gave you 248 mitzvot to do. You say, okay, no, you know what, God? Hamaniana, I want to sleep right now. And that's the representing of the energy of the desire to receive of a Jew. Now, what is the goal, we said, is to free ourselves. Now, hear out what happens. Why Moshe really did brought this Erev Rav out? Well, leave him alone. God told him, he knows better. He told him, don't bring them out. He would have brought them out. And for that reason, God would have taken his Bnei Israel immediately to Eretz Israel. It wasn't necessary for Israel to eat man. It was necessary for Israel to see the opening of the sea. And they didn't have to go 40 years in Bemidbar and die in the Midbar and make the scene of Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. Why Moshe brought the Erev Rav? Why he didn't listen to God? When we read the Torah this week, we see there is a discussion between God and Moshe. And God gives in to Moshe. So, okay, no problem. This is what you chose? I agree with you. God today tells to every one of us in this parasha, what have you chosen? Which route you want to go? I agree with you. Take your pick. I either take you through Midbar, or I show you, give you the man, or you will see the war of Amalek, and you end up to get the Torah, and you end up to do the Egel HaZahav, and you got to go through the whole procedure. Choose. I give you the free will to choose. Which route would you like to go? And gave it to Moshe. And Moshe represents each one of us individual. And Moshe made to bring the Erev Rav. Why he brought the Erev Rav? But you know Erev Rav. And who is Erev Rav? Now let me tell you Erev Rav. Who is the source of energy of Erev Rav? When Yosef was the emperor of Egypt, he controlled all the wealth of Egypt. He controlled the food that sustains the person. He controlled it. There were a lot of Egyptians, and the deal was like this. You had a land, you bring the land, you give it to Pharaoh. Pharaoh would give you food. You had money, gold, whatever you had, worthy, you bring it to Pharaoh. Pharaoh instead would give you to food. When you suddenly came after the whole procedure took about years. 7 years. So, after the first third year, there were a lot of Egyptians, they didn't have no more land, no more money, no more business, no nothing, and they were hungry. They went to Pharaoh. They were Egyptian. They said, you are our Pharaoh. You have food. We are Egyptian. Give us food. He says, look, don't talk to me. You know who's the boss? Yosef. Go to talk to Yosef. They went to Yosef. Yosef said, oh, you want food? You have money? No money. You have land? No land. You got anything? No, nothing. Okay, you go and do a Brit Milah. And if you do Brit Milah, I give you food. That was the deal. What Yosef did, we said that the prior of the creation of the Bereshit, there was a world that was created by Hashem called Tohu Vevohu. And this Tohu Vohu was representing the absolute energy of desire to receive for oneself alone. And exactly as selfishness as you can get. And because of that, they broke. And they were nitzutzim, sparks that fell. And God took those sparks and created a new beginning called Bereshit. We as a Jew, responsible to gather all these broken parts and return it back. This is our responsibility. And we cannot avoid it. Now what that means, where can I find this a spark of holiness? The whole thing is to find this spark of holiness so I can return it to the owner. Say, God, here it is. I found for you a couple here. Take it. I did the effort. I found it. Now, what are those sparks?
The thing that was broken, was it a bowl?
It was a vessel.
A vessel.
That made with the sparks of holiness and broke. Now, what that means? We said what he created was the absolute aspect of desire to receive. Remember that. That broke into pieces. Now, what is lack? Come with me. Lack.
Not having something.
Emptiness.
Emptiness. May I borrow your cup, please? I'll return it. How much is the lack of this glass? This? More than a half. Because it's empty. If it's totally empty, this cup, is this cup is represents what? A lack. Because it's not fulfilled. When this vessel will reach fulfillment, that means it does its purpose. When? When it's full. But when it is empty, he's full of
lack.
That means he is ready to say,
give me.
So lack represents desire to
receive.
Oh, very good. That's how I'm fine. Now, as soon as you have a lack, what are you in position?
To receive. If you desire to receive.
Choice.
The ability.
Choice. We said the following. If I go work 6 days and I make a bunch of money and I go and buy the wife is the boss, you cannot say anything. If I go and buy, work hard, and buy a kilo apple, and I love apple, and I want apple, I feel like having apple, I paid for it. Can I eat it?
Yes?
Yes.
No.
Because what I bought only the right of making a choice. Only the right of making a choice. Which means, did I make the apple? Did I water the apple? The apple is not really mine. The apple belongs to the owner of the land. And who is the owner of the land? It's the creator. I only bought the right. The right. Either to eat it. The right of a choice. Either to eat it without the bracha or with the bracha. I only paid for that right. I didn't pay for the apple yet. Because if I eat it without the bracha, that means I said, God, you know what? Forget it. I know your ground, you made the seed, you made the tree, you really create the water, you did the whole thing in order the apple come to my hand, so therefore I paid for it. Too bad, God, I can eat it without saying a bracha.
You gave me the money.
You gave me even the money.
Yeah.
I only worked a little bit for it. Now here, remember that. Every time you buy something, you only bought a right of to have a free will. You paid for your free will. And God is watching how you're going to use this free will. And that's the whole secret. Because as soon as you have a lack, now what do you have? A choice. Now you have a choice. If you are not empty, do you have any desire? Do you have any lack? Now how do you want to fill up the apple? To fill up the cup? For what purpose did you fill up the cup? May I use the example? You don't mind? When you went to fill up the cup with tea, why did you do it?
I was thirsty for me.
Thank you. Okay, but the reshoot of that tea was in hand of who?
God.
The permit to eat it is in the hand of who? The Creator. Did you ask to transfer the permit?
Not even, I didn't even think about it.
Thank you very much. That's the characteristic of a man. We are that kind of a people we are. We lose the sight of our life. We lose the sight of our goal. And that's what the Rebbe says. We forget that our existence depends that not to leave our domain of existence. We neglect. But the love of Hashem is so tremendous that allows you to make the choice. Didn't beat you up. And you still enjoyed it.
No.
We said the totality of being is to recognize and to change. And I want to come to a very important point. That Moshe made this choice for what? If I come to the world of freedom, but not with my choice. If the Jews would come out of Egypt, but not with free will. Would they enjoy the freedom? No. So that's why God allowed Moshe to make a choice to bring the Erev Rav, and knew Moshe that this Erev Rav is going to bring kilkul, is going to bring negative trait.
Moshe knew it?
Oh, yes. God told him they are not ready. But Moshe said, if Bnei Israel, that they are going to receive the Torah, with the Torah are able to defeat this energy of Egypt. What is Egypt? Let's go back to the story. They went to Yosef, and Yosef said, you want food? Go Brit Milah. All the Erev Ravs are Egyptian. But the Egyptians, that they went through the process of Brit Milah. This is comparison to today. Is a Jew wants to become, finally act like a Jew. So he acts religious. He makes a teshuvah. He changes his clothes to a black suit. He puts tzitziot. He puts kippah. He keeps Shabbat. He does all the law that the Torah says. But he changes superficially. But his yetzer, his character, his midot inside, still is Egyptian. He went, he did the Brit Milah. He acted like a Jew. He knew what the Jews are doing, because the Egyptian, they said, you are not anymore Egyptian. You did the Brit Milah. You are a Jew. And he came to the Jew, said, okay, I'm here, I'm a Jew. He said, but you are not a real Jew. Your mother is not a Jew. So you stay out of my house. So he was the in between. He was neither Egyptian.
But what was his point? And I still didn't understand what his Erev Rav.
Hold on. It's to give to a Jew a choice.
But he wasn't a Jew, the one who made him go to.
He acted like a Jew.
The fact that he was willing to do.
To do the Brit Milah.
He had no choice, he's hungry.
Absolutely. He didn't come, he did it what? Superficially, for sake of? Absolutely, that's what it says. The guy comes and says, I'm a Jew. I hear that if you are really become a good person and you go toward the Torah and you keep a Shabbat and you keep all that, God is going to write, he's going to do you good. He's not going to punish me. He's going to say, you are a good boy. I'm going to give you more and more. Keep on doing it. So he makes a deal with God. He says, I'm coming your way. I make a teshuvah, but make sure that you are taking care of me. But in reality, in his heart, he hasn't changed his characters. He only changed his look. But inside, still he's a lion chit. Still he will do everything is for his raton lekabel. And that's the energy of Palestinian. Palestinians were in Israel. which means they did Aliyah. They were Egyptian. They really were Egyptian. And they went, they made Aliyah, they went to Eretz Israel. They became the Ratzon of a Jew. They became, they showed that, look, we are living in the land of Kedusha. But their character, their inside was still Egyptian. That's why we say, God brought us out of Egypt. But we didn't take the Egypt out of ourselves.
He doesn't tell them, now I want you to make a brick milah and become a real Jew. You just tell them you want to eat, go do it. They're hungry, they go do it. So now, what are we telling them? Oh, you did it because you wanted to. Yeah, of course he did it because he wanted to. I don't understand what's the catch here. It's like, whatever you
rightfully
think they did, and they're hungry, they have no choice.
Now, two things I want you to look at. There are many times that God brings you to the law of no alternative and gives you a choice for you to wake up. To the extent that you're submit to make a Brit Milah, that means to make a covenant with your God. You go to Rosh Hashanah, you go through Yom Kippur, and you make a deal. God, I'm going to change. Please give me a chance for more, one more year. And as soon as goes 10 days pass, I forget. Mm-hmm. Have I changed? That's the aspect of Erev Rav in me. Erev Rav is not entity outside of a Jew. Erev Rav is the skin of the Jew. Attracts everything that is going to separate me from my Creator. Erev Rav is not some entity out there. Erev Rav is going to get the strongest position that it will be most effective only to destroy a Jew. And he lives in the midst of the Jew. He's his skin. He's his exterior. The penimut of a Jew is a Jew. But his outside is a skin, is the Erev Rav. Everything of outside attracts him. He has affinity to everything that gives him pleasure outside. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, to lie, to kill, to do whatever in order to satiate this body.
But that's what you expect from a Jew, but they were not Jewish.
Now here we go. We have to go back and really look at the source, because your question is very valid. Why Moshe insists to bring them out? We have to understand, where is Moshe? Moshe's name has a hey in it. Hey is the Hevel. The good aspect of Moshe starts from Hevel. The good aspect of Hevel is Moshe. And there is Shet, Shin. That's the third child of the Adam. When Adam comes out of the Gan Eden, he turns around to his wife. He says, you know what, wife? You know, God said, right, I listened to your voice. And because I listen to your voice, look what a miserable life I'm going to have. I have to work very hard like a dog. You know what? You're not worth it. You think you are the only woman in the world? I am Adam. I walked with God. And look, so many women, they want me. They all want to go with me. I literally did. He said, look, it's a foolish. God throw me out. So I might as well enjoy life. If I cannot enjoy his heaven, I'll enjoy whatever goodness he has outside in the heaven. For 130 years, what he did, he spread his sperms. Until Adam one day came and saw his son Cain. I said, Cain, you're still alive? So what do you mean that? He says, well, God says you're going to die. How come you're still alive? He says, Dad, I found a secret. He said, what's the secret? He said, Teshuvah. He said, you know what? I went to God. I said, God, honestly, I'm sincerely telling you, I am sorry. I made a mistake. So God gave me a chance. He says, yeah, there is such a thing as called Teshuvah. He says, yeah. So he goes to God. He says, God. He says, yes. He says, look, I recognize. I made really a boo-boo. And you know what? How I'm going to show you that how much I love you, God? He says, what? He says, there is one unicorn is mine. He had a unicorn. One unicorn in the whole creation. And that belonged to Adam. He brought it, made the mazbeach, and sacrificed it for God. He says, this is the ultimate thing that I have in my life that I love. For you, I'm going to give it up. For you, unicorn, I'm going to give it up for you. Adam said, God said, that's a teshuvah. And then God gave Shet to him. And we come from Shet. And Moshe has the goodness of Hevel, goodness of Shet, and Moshe, Mim of the Moshe. Now this is the energy of Moshe. Between Hevel and Shet, there was 130 years. 130 years. That's exactly the time that the Jews were in Egypt, 130 years before Moshe came. After 130 years, Moshe came. Now, Moshe represents this energy, comes to God. He said, look, between heaven and Shed, there is 130 years sperms of Adam that are my responsibility. And God brought them, all these sperms, all those nitzutzim, all those sparks that Adam scattered in the whole world, made the Ra'ev, made the, the hunger. So everybody comes to where? To Egypt. And that was an opportunity for Moshe to come and say, you know what? God, I am not going to only save Bnei Israel. The whole line between heaven and Shed is my responsibility too. I want to take them out too. The Torah will cleanse them. They are in reality sperms, seeds, nitzutzei Adam. And Moshe said, Adra Rabba, not only Bnei Israel to come and see the freedom, but the totality of the seed of Adam. Totality of Adam to see the freedom. That's why God said, I advise you not to do it, but it's your choice. And he took the hard way. He took the hard way, which means don't look for a comfort zone in this world. Because if you look for the comfort zone, you are in the wrong business. If you accept the responsibility, and responsibility means effort, fight, failure, falling down, breaking, making. At the end, why God brought did all these things? To make sure for the Jews to understand the truth that the end is going to be good. The end is going to be as Shira, as Yashir Moshe uBnei Israel et Hashira Azot LaAdonai. That's the finality. It's a Shira. It's a Simcha. But no pain, no gain. Until you don't accept this responsibility, unless you take your life serious, unless you accept what is your responsibility here. Now honestly, look, what do we look into the week? What do we look in our pleasures? What do we behave in our life? How do we enjoy our life? What do we make our life? What is the name of the game for me? Oh, this weekend, where is the party? What are we going to do tomorrow night? Where is the party? Who is my date for this weekend? All my plans. And every one of us, we have our own plans. Yes, go ahead. We are not done yet.
In that case, everybody that lived at a time came from Adam. So
oh, that's not true. That's not correct. That's not true. Adam was the person that his consciousness activated, and he used his mind and his wisdom and understanding, and God gave him knowledge. So he was able to make differentiation. You can be an Adam, but not to have a free will. There is such a creature. He's a human being, but absolutely no free will at all. So, now, what is not having a free will? It's not to be free. Oh, you think that you have free will. If you have free will, stop your thinking. 2 minutes. No, 2 minutes is too much. 30 seconds. Oh, that's too hard. 10 seconds. Cut your habit. Change your habit. Talk is cheap. Do it. Talk is very cheap. But doing it requires you to change your nature. Then you can control. Control your stomach. Control your feeding, eating, and your digesting. Control your eyes blinking. Control your heart. Say, you know, heart, I want you to go now, not 92, not 102, I want you to go up to 130. And you know, by the way, relax. I want you to go down to 30. Do it. It's your heart. It's your brain. And what God says that you got 4 senses in your head. You cannot control it. You cannot control it unless what you see is only God. What you hear is only God. What you smell is only God. And what you say is only God. But what do we think about? We dissociate with our domain of existence. We are disassociated from the Creator. We tell Him, look, leave me alone. Don't bother me. And don't push me. You gave me free will. Free will I have only at one moment. It's when I have desire to receive. That's where I have free will. When I'm empty. When I'm totally empty, then I have free will. Then consider how you're going to fill it up. But when you are empty, you're ready to kill to eat. When you are empty, you lie. When you are empty, you cheat. That's Erev Rav within me. Because Erev Rav was standing all the time and seeing God does all these miracles for the Jews. And because they are in essence, they are Egyptian. In essence, they want to control and domain. In essence, they are cruel. And those are the aspects of their careers. Very simply. God said, you know what? I give you, Bnei Yisrael, the Torah to you. And the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael and not to Erev Rav. Until the Erev Rav got mixed into the Jews. And the Erev Rav is within the Bnei Yisrael. There is no more separation between them. And what's the fault? What's the result? The last war, the hardest war, the most difficult war, is to separate the Erev Rav that is within me. It's the one. What is the Erev Rav? He says the Erev Rav has affinity to Palestinian. Now, what is the aspect of the Palestinian? What is the Palestinian is? What is Palestine? It's the guy who makes joke out of God. He makes mockery out of God. And you know what? He says anything he wants to say. Whenever he says. You know when Arafat was alive yet? He talked lied. He stood in front of the whole world, literally lied. Somebody told him, hey, what are you saying? He said, what am I saying? I'm saying the truth. But you're lying. So what lying? I'm telling you the truth. Don't you believe me? I'm telling you the truth. They say whatever they want. They make fun out of God. It's like you decide to put kippah in your head. So you know what? From now on, I want to say everything I eat, I want to say bracha. You know what your closest friend going to tell you? What do you mean, you got nuts? What's the matter with you? Now you're turning on us in religious, and in 2 seconds, three more days, you say you're not going to come with us to a restaurant. And in another one week, you're going to tell me, hey, you're going to keep Shabbat. You crazy? What about our poker game? What about all the discotheques that we got to go together? And now you're going to tell me, no, you're not going to look at girls anymore. They're going to make fun out of you. They're going to make fun of you that you're not to change. Stay the way you are. It's good. Why are you shaking the boat for? That's the Erev Rav within every one of us. We make fun out of it. We know the God is true. I know the apple is not mine. But you know I have to say bracha. I know the bracha. What for? Don't think about it even. That's losing the sight of what my life is all about. But when I eat an apple, or I take a glass of water, or I take a piece of cake, and I say a bracha, inevitably his name is not out of my sight. Inevitably his name is not out of my mind. Inevitably I remember where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I'm eating. And that's called discipline. The purpose is not to say, God, you know what? You are a really big one. I love you. You are the best. God doesn't need that. God has given me ways how to discipline my mind, my heart, my eyes, my ears, my nose, and my mouth. That's why he says when you gather the nitzutzim, you have to gather the nitzutzim. That means every time you express a desire to receive, you have an opportunity to take a spark of holiness and give it aliyah by saying one bracha. Look at what instrument God has given you. Only to the Jews. Only to the Jews. For a Jew make a difference how he eats. For nobody in the world. And yet the rest of the world, they say they praise God before they eat. And yet Jew is the least that identifies the source of what he's making him exist. Totally. That's why God called them. Moshe called them Kasheore. We think God owes us. You made the pick. You picked me. You take care of me. You made me. You got me. That's how really chutzpah we have. Now, next time you want to eat, think about it. Because the moment you think about it, you have done the right way. At least you are aware. Minimum. And that is a discipline. You don't come here really to... For what purpose? And if I cannot pass on one step to make a difference in your life, a change in your life, I've done wrong to you. I can impress you with all the numbers and ideas from Torah that hair will stand on your body. But that's not the point. The point is that you and me make it, make the train, make the goal. And it's very important that whenever I want to open my mouth, say something. Check it out before I say it. Don't break bridges that you cross. Don't take one word and destroy what you have created a whole lifetime. Just with one word. Don't say it because you feel like saying it or you think it is the truth. Give the discipline to yourself. And then you know what? When you decide that you're going to say the truth and you're going to say it, make sure how you say it. Put compassion and love into it. Don't let it go out with the hate. Don't let it go out with the word of jealousy and pain in it. Just because you want to satisfy, you know what? I want revenge. A Jew is not in the business of revenge. one caricature. And look what's happening in the world. How many caricatures they made of a Jew? How many? What the Jew did? Nothing. And that's correct. That's correct. That means he's in control. That means he knows the reality and the truth. The one that lacks it, the one that is not sure of his foundation, is going to make a lot of noise. He's going to kill a lot of people to prove that he's a believer. But he's only outside. Everything that you see and you witness in your life in the world, the Torah says, God has brought it for you to testify the truth of the Torah. Everything you see. Look around. Look at the Palestine. Look at the Palestinian. Look at the Hamas. Look at the Hezbollah. Look at the world. And the Jew is in between. And the Jew has only one thing to get redeemed from all this misery. And it's only if it finds and acquires the discipline that the Torah gives and keeps on using the Torah to rejuvenate and become new and change. Change is the most difficult thing, but yes, most joyful thing when you are able to change, when you make the effort to change. And this change has to have direction and purpose. And the direction only defined by the rules and the mitzvot of the Torah. We don't have anything else better. We cannot do with any other system better. Yes, God put Krishna, God put Buddha, God put Muslim, God put Baha'i, God put zillion other. Just want you to see a bit of a history. How many totality in the whole world prophets God has sent? We know, we say 1,000. But in reality, if you take all the prophets that God has sent, there are 10,000, they say. Where are those majority of those prophets? Huh? No, yeah. But all these prophets came where? Middle East. What that says? Why God would send so many prophets? They needed most. Those that they don't need, they don't send. He sent them because that much we needed. And you know, we got the Bachir of all the prophets called Moses, which brought us the Torah. And I don't want you to become religious overnight. Don't become dati. Be conscious of your spirit, of your water that is inside you, the yam that is inside you, the wealth that is inside you and is concealed. And how are you going to do it? Before you eat, recognize it. Oh, I'm sure you're going to say, oh, bracha? What is bracha? Bracha starts with the word bar. Bar in Aramaic means sun. Bar ko. Ko tevarchu et bnei Yisrael. Ko is the energy, foundation, shekhinah, that gives us the energy. The bracha is when somebody is the son of Shekhinah. The only way that you will get a bracha is when you become son of Shekhinah. You become son of God. You accept the responsibility of being a son, not to betraying your father and not bad his name. That means you go by his discipline. Look at the food that you eat. And look at what you eat. Because you are what you eat. And if you are a Jew, you should be kosher. If you are not kosher, that means you are not, you don't have discipline. You say, look, this guy is familiar only with good stuff. Is only the cemetery of the shrimps, loves, lobsters, caviars, and good stuff. It's the best cemetery you got. You want me to change it and not feed it? Then how we advance to give to our stomach and we are not able to give discipline to our stomach. If I cannot give discipline to my stomach, what? I want to have a control of my mind and my life? I want you to think about it. Because if you are not kosher, there is no holiness and godliness can approach you. I tell you very truly and honestly. If you have not made, and you have, you know how much time? Till Pesach. Take your time. God gives advance notices. God gives you choices. And don't tell me at home I am kosher, but outside I am not. I haven't seen a half-pregnant woman yet. Either you're kosher or you're not kosher. Tell me, oh, you know what? I'm going to go here. I'm going to go do this. You know what? Everything else do. But be aware what you're eating. And sometimes it's very good that you have a partner and you are blessed with the partner and the partner is say, you know what? You eating it and you're not eating it is really doesn't make any difference. Wait till you go home and eat kosher. Tell that to yourself. You see, if you say no to this, what you want to eat and it's not kosher, by you saying no, you're not going to lose much. Wait 5 minutes and go and eat something kosher. 5 minutes. And literally look how the animal gonna talk to you. Check out yourself. How the animal is gonna explain to you what's the matter with you. Here it is, the Erev Rav comes and start making fun out of you. Now you want to say bracha, next time you wanna keep Shabbat, and next time you want to, you know, you're not gonna drive. And starts telling you the whole scenario. Questions? Yes, please. Give us a little bit more time. But before you ask me the question. Wow. This one is a beauty. There is two things that I want to share with you. I get paid the most handsomest way possible. Honestly. And I feel extremely, extremely satiated and fulfilled for the work that I do. I think I'm getting paid even overtime, more than what I really expect. But just simply seeing you guys sitting here, that's my payment. But there is a payment that you have to make. You have to make the effort. And the payment is not to take out your money, no. That's your earned. Your work is to enlighten one more Jew, to give a Jew a friend, a chance. And the chance is not to go and say, well, you know what, I recently became kosher and I, and you're not kosher, you know, you're not a good Jew, you better become a kosher because I cannot continue to be a good friend. That's not the way. Be so good to your friend and be such a good example that your friend will honestly, lovingly will follow you. This is called enlightening another person. I don't want you to be like me. I'm the worst example you can look at. I want you to be the best of you can be. That's what's important. And that starts to implementing slowly, slowly, drop by drop, changes in your life. Discipline yourself. Now we have a couple of sites, and that's where I need your help. One of the sites that I know many people are tapping into is called Desire to Share. There is another, Dr. Amit, there is another site name. Melamed at yahoogroups.com. Now, everything that we're talking here, there is a CD that is loaded in the computer for you to introduce, for you to explain, for you to be a good example to allow them to go to these sites. We are about 15 years we are teaching. There are over 1,200 hours of cassettes. All has been converted because of one student one day said that my life has changed and I want to make a difference. So he has sat down, digitalized over 15 hours of classes. And very soon it's going to be all on the programs. On any subject, they go by subject, indexed, and by content. 1500, no? About 1,500 hours of classes on every practically subject of Kabbalah. One honestly student that fell in love with what Torah is. His life is changed. A person that didn't have a goal, a person that really was at the time a very good Jew, but didn't know where he's going. He found his way, thanks God, Baruch Hashem, he's married, thanks God, Baruch Hashem, he has a child, thanks God, Baruch Hashem, he is attaining a high level of education beyond any normal imagination. And Chazak Baruch to him that he did it. And he did it with tremendously putting his faith in the Torah and believing that what he will do, the changes will come in, bring him blessing. Now, I really would like to see many like this. One of the ways that it will make change in you is you to make a change in somebody else's life. But not by forcing or belittling or going by tochacha. No. By being a good example yourself. Changing yourself. There are some people, the second subject, have made donation through these sites. Now, we honestly don't charge anything. And if we charge for a CD or cassette, is the cost that it is involved. And whatever money remains, and I should be truthful with you, there are many people that give a lot of donations, and money adds up. Suddenly I recognize there is a good amount of money. There is many channels this money in your name will be spent. Either to buy a Torah, which we did. Twice we bought Torah with the money that came out of the class. One person was able to get married. The money was provided through the class and the student of the class totally to have marriage, wedding, and everything that needed for their house came from you students. And Baruch Hashem, they have good house, profession, and child. And there was a case that a person that wanted to go to Israel and study in the yeshiva, but did not have the money. And the class provided the money. That's the mitzvot that came out of the students of this class. The credit goes only to the student of this class. Participate in the idea. Participate. It's a religiosity and opening schools and teaching Torah and Kabbalah, I understand, has been abused. Money became a factor. To become rich, money spoils you. And may God help. That's why God has, thanks God, put me in a position that I don't look to get my living out of those classes. And may not ever be necessary for that. Because I enjoy on my payment and I accept in full paid when I see your faces and when I see the changes that occurs in your life. That is my full payment. and I admit I have been paid in full. So please, go into the habit of being a lamp to somebody's life. Just a lamp. Be a candle. And burn for somebody else's purpose. For another Jew. We don't have anybody else but ourselves. Nobody else will care for us. We have enemies that are sitting. Listen to the radios. Now they are talking about the same scenarios of 60 years ago. Same words. The problem of the world are the Jews. Enemy number one is the Jews. Look at the book. Go to the fair that was the last fair that was in Germany. What the Iranian government produced, printed, and brought to Germany. Germany. The authorities didn't know until at the end they found out. That's all anti-Semites and anti-Jews. And they don't need any reason to hate us. They just witnessed the love of the Creator toward Israel and they cannot stand it. They can't stand it. So protect yourself, protect your children, protect your brothers, protect your sisters, because that's what we got. It's only the future for us left. And it all depends that we sacrifice a little bit. And I honestly mean it. Next food that you put in front of you and you want to consume, look where it came from. Any other question? Yes, please.
Another question. Back in Montreal, we had a very a world speaker who came for a Shabbaton. And for the whole Shabbaton, he talked and demonstrated and everything.
And then one of please forgive me. Wait one more second. I will close it. I apologize. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
So one of the persons at the end of the Shabbaton told him, I'm very happy because really the Shabbaton made a difference for me. Something changed in me and whatever. And the speaker was very happy. He said, I'm very happy that I could do something. He said, no, it wasn't you. It was a little boy who was 3 years old who came to his mother with a candy. And before he puts it in his mouth, he asks his mother, is it kosher? And the mother said no, and he didn't take it. He said, this made me want to be one of those people. So that's the example, I think.
That's the difference. That's why the Zohar specifically says the way Jew eat is different than everybody else in the world. And we are all human. I accept that. But we have different purposes. Azach Baruch. Shalom, everybody. Somebody left a book, a handbook. Not yet. Oh, my dear.